Early tomorrow morning, NASA will launch a satellite capable of monitoring carbon dioxide emissions from space. It's seen as critical to understanding global warming. Tomorrow's launch is actually a second attempt by researchers. They tried to carry out the same mission 5 years ago. As NPR's Jeff Brumfiel reports, this time they're confident it'll work.
Carbon dioxide coming from power plants and tailpipes is the main reason our planet is warming. Scientists have been obsessively watching CO2 levels rise for decades, but the way they do it hasn't changed. David Crisp is a researcher at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in California.
Since about 1958, we've been making very, very precise measurements of carbon dioxide by essentially filling bottles full of air, shipping them to Boulder, Colorado, primarily these days, and running it through a series of very, very sensitive laboratory instruments.
The samples show carbon dioxide levels are creeping up, but they can't tell scientists exactly where all that CO2 is coming from.
We don't have these snapshots that really show what's happening right now over, let's say, all of Texas.
Stephen Wofsy is an atmospheric scientist at Harvard University. What researchers would like is a picture of carbon dioxide as it rises from smokestacks. And that's why many are excited about a satellite that can survey CO2 from space.
People have been waiting for this now for a really long time. It's going to change the way we track and understand CO2 emissions.
David Crisp, the guy you heard at the beginning, actually led the team that built this satellite. He called it the Orbiting Carbon Observatory, or OCO. It could measure tiny changes in CO2 from high in orbit. Amazing, considering carbon dioxide is an invisible gas. And actually, it launched in 2009.
T-minus 10, 9, 8.
We had what looked like an absolutely gorgeous launch.
Zero. And liftoff of the Taurus rocket with OCO, tracking a greenhouse gas in seek of clues to global warming.
But about 3.5 minutes in came a problem. The rocket's nose cone didn't come off.
At all stations, it appears we've had a contingency with the OCO mission.
The nose cone weighed the rocket down, and Crisp watched his precious satellite fall back to Earth.
I felt like somebody had rolled a concussion grenade into the room and that it had gone off.
10 months later, a depressed Crisp was woken up in the middle of the night.
About 2 o'clock in the morning, I got a call from the White House.
The Obama administration had decided the mission was so valuable it would pay for a carbon copy, the Orbiting Carbon Observatory 2. Crisp spent another 4 years building it. In the meantime, cities, particularly in the developing world, have been growing. The growth is so fast that scientists are losing track of emissions.
The largest single uncertainty in our understanding of the emission of carbon dioxide into our atmosphere is now the burning of fossil fuels.
OCO2 is only an experiment. The picture it makes will be very fuzzy, and it won't be able to look at every city on the planet. But it might lead to satellites that could, and that could be useful for enforcing future global warming treaties. All that will only happen if the new OCO2 works. Will it?
We very rarely have an opportunity to build something twice. We had that opportunity this time. So we used a lot of extra care, so we have a lot of confidence.
But just in case, Crisp will be standing in the control room one more time to see the mission through. Jeff Brumfiel, NPR News.